Our scripture reading is verses 2 through 20 from chapter 8 of the Gospel of John. You can follow along on pages 1292 and 1293 of your pew Bible. Let's listen for God's message. Then early the next morning, he went to the temple. The people came to him, and he sat down and started teaching them. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law of Moses brought in a woman who had been caught in bed with a man who wasn't her husband. They made her stand in the middle of the crowd. Then they said, "Teacher, this woman was caught sleeping with a man who isn't her husband. The law of Moses teaches that a woman like this should be stoned to death. What do you say?" They asked Jesus this question because they wanted to test him and bring some charge against him. But Jesus simply bent over and started writing on the ground with his finger. They kept on asking Jesus about the woman. Finally, he stood up and said, "If any of you have never sinned, then go ahead and throw the first stone at her." Once again, he bent over and began writing on the ground. The people left one by one, beginning with the oldest. Finally, Jesus and the woman were there alone. Jesus stood up and asked her, "Where is everyone? Isn't there anyone left to accuse you?" "No, sir," the woman answered. Then Jesus said to her, "I am not going to accuse you either. You may go now, but don't sin anymore." Once again, Jesus spoke to the people. This time he said, "I am the light of the world. Follow me, and you won't be walking in the dark. You will have the light that gives life." The Pharisees objected. "You are the only one speaking for yourself, and what you say isn't true." Jesus replied, "Even if I do speak for myself, what I say is true. I know where I came from and where I am going. But you don't know where I am from or where I am going. You judge in the same way that everyone else does. But I don't judge anyone. If I did judge, I would judge fairly, because I would not be doing it alone. The Father who sent me is here with me. Your law requires two witnesses to prove that something is true. I am one of my witnesses, and the Father who sent me is the other one." "Where is your Father?" they asked. "You don't know me or my Father," Jesus answered. "If you knew me, you would know my Father." Jesus said this while he was teaching in the place where the temple treasures were stored. But no one arrested him, because his time had not yet come.
Let us pray. Most holy God, grant that what we speak with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and what we believe in our hearts, we may show forth in our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It is a truth universally acknowledged that when you think you have kicked a bad habit, an enticing opportunity, will emerge, and you will find yourself right back in the thick of that bad habit. I don't care what the bad habit or even addiction might be, but it's gonna happen. And it happened to me just the other day. The bad habit I thought I had kicked or was close to kicking was judgmentalism. Turns out I wasn't as close to kicking it as I thought I was. See, a friend of mine informed me of something that was going on in the life of someone we both know, and I just went off. You know how it goes. You hear that so-and-so did such-and-such, and all of a sudden, your hackles are up. Your brain kicks into overdrive, and the unkind thoughts just flow out of you somewhat uncontrollably. Now, I like to think of myself as a mostly kind person who tries to have sympathy for people who say or do things with which I disagree. I try to understand where they're coming from. I consider past hurts that may have caused them to behave in troubling ways, and I also try to reflect on why that particular person doing that particular thing bothered me so much. When I find myself being judgmental, that is the hardest thing for me to reflect on. Because quite often, when someone does something that sets me off, their behavior somehow connected to something in me I'm trying to overcome. Or it connects to a past hurt of my own that hasn't quite healed. A couple of days ago, when I got judgy about this acquaintance of mine, another friend challenged me to offer some grace, to pray for them, or to give a word of encouragement rather than the ugly judgment I was putting out there. At first, I was a bit annoyed by this rebuke, annoyed that my friend wouldn't just let me rant away about this other person. But my friend was absolutely right. So I asked God to help soften my heart, to chip away at some of that judgment. It's ugly anyhow, and there are better ways for me to spend my emotional energy. In today's reading from John chapter 8, Jesus talked of being the light of the world. As one of his followers, I realized that putting judgmental thoughts out into the world certainly doesn't help shine his light into places and people who need a little brightness. So I will continue to ask God to soften my hard, judgmental heart. Now, the story from John chapter 8 that occurs just prior to Jesus saying he is the light of the world is a fascinating story. And the punchline of that story has become part of our cultural vernacular, even outside of Christian circles. That punchline, of course, being, if any of you have never sinned, then go ahead and throw the first stone at her. Or as we more commonly hear it and say it, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. But let's get into the story itself before we think more about those famous words of Jesus. Jesus was teaching in the temple, likely teaching a bunch of men, by the way, when some Jewish religious leaders interrupted his teaching by presenting a woman they said was caught in bed with a man who wasn't her husband. Teacher, the religious leader said to Jesus, this woman was caught sleeping with a man who isn't her husband. The law of Moses teaches that a woman like this should be stoned to death. What do you say? Our reading tells us the religious leaders had said this in order to test Jesus so they could bring a charge against him. So they'd have a valid reason to shut him up, to get him to stop teaching, to stop causing people to be so interested in what he was saying. Other translations of the Bible say the religious leaders brought this woman to Jesus in order to trap him. Keep in mind, the religious law is extremely important to Jewish people. Jesus himself was Jewish, and so were his first followers. For the most part, they would have known and faithfully kept their religious law. And in fact, Jesus was quite an expert in Jewish religious law. Jewish religious law is laid out in our Old Testament books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And there are two particular laws that are very relevant to this story in John chapter 8 about the woman caught in adultery. The first of these laws is in Leviticus chapter 20, where it states, "If any of you men sleep with another man's wife, both you and the woman will be put to death." The second of these relevant laws is in Deuteronomy chapter 22, where it says something similar. "If a man is caught sleeping with another man's wife, you must put both of them to death." So according to their religious law, both the woman and the man caught in adultery were to be put to death. Yet the religious leaders only presented Jesus with the woman. Curious, don't you think? This is why we know it was a trap. If Jesus had responded to them by saying, "Yes, you should stone her," and had left it at that, the religious leaders could have accused Jesus of not knowing the law in its fullness. They could have come back at him by saying, "Aha, but the law states that the man should also be put to death." If Jesus had affirmed their accusations of the woman, and if he would have agreed it was justifiable to stone her without also stoning the man, Jesus would have been caught in a legal minefield, and his growing reputation as a powerful teacher would have just disintegrated. Jesus knew the religious law, and he knew the religious leaders were trying to use it to trap him. He wasn't about to fall into their trap. He also wasn't about to simply call them on their trap. So he sat there quietly, writing on the ground with his finger. We don't know what Jesus was writing. That's not important to the point of the story. But after a bit of doodling in the dust, Jesus sat up, looked at the religious leaders, and said, "If any of you have never sinned, then go ahead and throw the first stone at her." After saying this, he went back to writing on the ground. And Jesus sat there, writing on the ground with his finger as one by one, everyone else walked away, leaving the woman standing there before Jesus all by herself. This is a powerful story that leaves a strong impression on anyone who reads and internalizes it. And again, Jesus' words to the religious leaders have made a strong impression on our larger culture. "Let those who are without sin cast the first stone." "Where is everyone?" Jesus asked the woman. "Isn't there anyone left to accuse you?" "No one, sir," she said. Then Jesus told her, "I'm not going to accuse you either." This message is the message of grace Jesus offered to that woman so many years ago. And we all need to hear that grace, don't we? Don't we all need to hear Jesus' assurance that we are not judged or condemned for our sins? Don't we all need to be reminded that our mistakes don't have to keep haunting us? Just imagine how it would have felt to have been that woman, dragged by uppity, judgmental religious leaders to become the unfortunate object lesson in a legal trap. I do not intend to condone adultery, but can you imagine how awful it would have been to have been this woman? And the uppity, judgmental religious leaders did not even have the courtesy to bring along the man with whom she was having the adulterous affair. No, she stood completely alone in their judgment. Yet Jesus proved himself to be a different kind of religious leader. Rather than proving himself to be uppity and judgmental like the others, he offered patience, kindness. "Where is everyone? Isn't there anyone left to accuse you?" Jesus asked the woman. "No one, sir," she said. "Then I'm not going to accuse you either." that Jesus did not condemn or judge her is grace enough. But that's not where he stopped, because that's never where God stops with us. So before she walked away from him, Jesus also said to her, "You may go now, but don't sin anymore. Go now and find new life. Live differently. Live in the grace you've just experienced." In this story, Jesus not only confounds the religious leaders by turning their trap upside down, judging them and leaving them speechless, he also offers the woman grace and the opportunity for new life. She does not have to be defined by her sin. She does not have to be defined by her past. Grace upon grace. I love this story. As many of you are aware, we have now rounded the corner and are heading toward the end of our I'm Not Okay series during this season of Lent. Thus far in this series, we have explored many of the ways in which humans are fragile, many of the ways in which we are not okay. So far, we've thought about temptation, doubts and questions of faith, physical illness, worry over the future. Next week, we'll wade into loss and grief. But today we've landed on judgment, on those metaphorical stones of judgment we so often throw at others and that get thrown at us. And we all throw these stones of judgment, don't we? Whether the stones are thrown in the form of judgmental thoughts, condemning glances, gossipy stories, grudges we nurse, these stones are thrown at family members, friends, acquaintances, politicians, colleagues, people of other ethnic and religious groups, etc., etc. We throw them and they certainly get thrown at us. We throw these stones of judgment for who knows how many reasons, but we don't have to. And life in this world is much more pleasant when we choose not to. Last fall, I read a book by a popular blogger named Glennon Doyle Melton. The book is called Carry On Warrior, and in it, she said something I was reminded of as I thought about this week's message. She wrote, "Since brokenness is the way of folks, the only way to live peacefully is to forgive everyone constantly, including yourself. Since brokenness is the way of folks, the only way to live peacefully is to forgive everyone constantly, including yourself." Now, forgiveness is a whole other mess to talk about. It's complex. It rarely happens quickly. And when forgiveness does happen, we realize it only happens as a gift from God. But the sentiment Glennon Doyle Melton communicates here is so important. Since brokenness is the way of folks, the only way to live peacefully is to forgive everyone constantly, including yourself. Even when you can't yet forgive, still try to be gentle with people. Be kind, consider their wounds. Before you judge, allow room for God's grace to settle in first. Remember that not one of us is fully okay at any given moment. We all require kindness. It's usually best and most faithful to withhold that first stone of judgment. Of course, this doesn't mean that we should not be held accountable when we hurt others. There are and should be consequences to harmful words and deeds. But judgment is a trap that harms us far more than it harms those we judge. It's ugly. It eats away at our minds and hearts. It leaves us hardened. So grant your fellow fragile human beings as much grace as you can. Because the good news is that Jesus Christ grants each of us more grace than we could ever imagine. It's his grace that heals our brokenness. It's his grace that makes us okay eventually. Thanks be to God.